It says in 2 Samuel 6:1. Trying to get this mic fixed, driving me crazy. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord with them in the manner, on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it for the ark and shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him in the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told to King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. I'm nervous this morning. I don't feel adequate to preach this passage. I'll do my best. I'm going to preach today on the home and the presence of God in the home. Probably not quite what you thought when I began to read this passage here. We focus a lot on that ark and God smiting Uzzah dead. You've heard that story before. And because he touched the ark, you know that. And some say, well, that's harsh. And it is, but that's the rules. And God set forth the rules and made it very plain. And Uzzah disobeyed the rules and he paid with his life. Not touch the ark of God. They knew that. And it was really David's fault for trying to put it on the new cart and bring it that way, transport it that way. They knew that's not the way it was done. It's very plain to understand the way it should be done. The Lord made it very plain back in Exodus. Moses wrote it down very plain for them. They disobeyed the rules, and Uzzah paid the price. Today, I want to focus in on verse number 10. It says, so David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. David said, don't bring it to my house. But David carried aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. David said, I'm scared to take it. I don't want it. He said, but Obed-Edom, you take it and you put it in your house. It's kind of funny. The ark of God was brought into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. I began to study about this man, Obed-Edom. Kind of different. And there's only a few mentions of him right here in this passage, a few more times in 1 Chronicles pertaining to the same story. There's some disagreements on who he is, not in the Bible, but people that study the Bible, disagreements on who he is and how many different Obed-Edoms there are. And the book of 1 Chronicles doesn't make it very clear how many different ones there is. But I have what I believe is the truth, and I'll try to show that to you in a little bit. I don't have all the answers. This fellow is one that you may have never heard about before, at least may have read him here in the story. The strange name, Obed-Edom. Only mentioned in relation to this story, really, and the events that follow this story. That's the only time he's mentioned. But he was important enough that God made sure we knew who had the ark of God for those 3 months. God wanted to make sure we knew that Obed-Edom had the ark and that he was blessed because he had the ark. It's significant. Why is it so significant? That's what I was trying to figure out. The ark of God is a picture of the presence of God. Whenever God came to Israel, it was at the ark. He appeared at the ark, above the ark, as in the Holy of Holies. His presence always centered around this ark. It's always a picture of the presence of God. And Obed-Edom had the privilege of holding the presence of God in his own home for 3 months. And it changed his life, and it changed his home, and it changed his family that we'll read about later on. So it might make you think, why was Obed-Edom so important? Why did God choose him? Why did God bless him? If it's just the ark that somebody needs to change their life, why didn't he pass around from home to home in Israel and bless everybody's home, if that's all they need? Then I studied some more and realized Obed-Edom's not the only one who had the opportunity to have the ark of God in their home. You probably already know that we read it a minute ago that Obed-Edom was not the first man to house the ark of the Lord. The Philistines had captured the ark. You know the story back in 1 Samuel. Israel was losing in battle. He said, bring the ark of God. We'll parade that around. Then we'll win. They did that by mistake. The Lord didn't tell them to do it. They did it anyway. The ark of God was captured, went to the Philistines. They tried to take it and put it in their temple. And their god Dagon fell down flat on his face before the ark of God. They put him back up. Next day he came again. His arms are broke off. His legs are broke off. Laying face first, bowing before the ark of God. And they said, this might not be such a good idea after all. And they began to be plagued, and he had the emeralds and different things plagued the nation, the land, with mice. So the Philistines eagerly shipped this ark of God on a new cart back to Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, it tells us where this ark went. 1 Samuel 7 says verse number 1, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." So this ark of the Lord, the presence of God, was stored in the house of Abinadab. It says in verse number 2, that 20 years after they stored the ark there, that's when Israel finally lamented after the Lord. So for 20 years, the ark said in Abinadab's house, while Israel served these false gods, Israel serving a false god, doing wrong, Abinadab's holding on to the ark of God in his home. 20 years passed. We know it isn't until after Saul has reigned and has died. Now David's taken the throne in 2 Samuel 6, read a few minutes ago. It isn't until then that they finally bring the ark of God out of Abinadab's house. That's when he finally comes out. So Saul served as king for 40 years. And kind of a little timeline here. If you look at the timeline of Israel and when they repented of different things, Abinadab had this ark of the Lord, the presence of God in his house for at least 40 years. Saul reigned for 40 years. It was put there before Saul reigned. It's taken on after Saul reigns. That's at least 40 years. We have these 20 years before Israel ever started to get right and it started to repent. It's anywhere between 40 and 60 years that Abinadab stored the presence of God in his home. But yet, we see Obed-Edom had the presence of God in his house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed all of his household. So Obed-Edom back in 2 Samuel has the ark of God in his house for 3 months. The Lord blessed him, all his household. It says in 1 Chronicles, blessed all that he had. So that would make you assume that Abinadab, if he had it for almost between 40 and 60 years, he's got to be richly blessed, wouldn't you think? That makes logical sense. But wait a minute. 2 Samuel 6, verse number 3, you should still be there. It says, "And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart." The sons of Abinadab that grew up with the ark of God. So in verse number 6, "And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God." Uzzah, the man who grew up in the home with the presence of the Lord for 40 to 60 years, ignored the God-given rules given in Exodus and was killed on the spot by God. For he grew up with the ark of God in his home. And he's the one that was killed for touching it. So the house of Abinadab, his own son, dies from disgracing the ark of God, breaking the rules. The house of Obed-Edom, his entire household is blessed for only having the ark for 3 months. What's the difference? That's what I'm trying to study this morning. Uzzah, either he was never taught the rules of this ark, I found that hard to believe because he's lived this long without messing up, or he completely and totally ignored them, ignored the rules, and did the opposite and touched the ark anyway. You say, rules don't really matter that much, preach. That's all the Old Testament. This is in 1 Timothy 1:8. "We know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully." Now, I'm no lawyer. I'm not trying to preach the law. You have to obey the law this morning. But rules are there for a reason. There's principles. Talking about the principles of the Scripture this morning. They're there for a reason for us to follow, for us to learn from, for us to guide our lives by these principles. There are rules and guidelines in the Bible that we are to follow. Yes, we have mercy. Yes, we have grace. And I'm so thankful for those. If it weren't for that, I'd be in hell today. And I realize that. We ought to strive to live as close as we can to the Scripture and the principles taught in the Scriptures, close as we possibly can. Somewhere along the lines, Uzzah was either not taught, or he decided to completely ignore everything he'd been taught. David didn't have to do much studying to find the rules for carrying this ark. We know he had this instance happen. He went back and he said, "You take it, I don't want it, I'm scared." He went back and apparently figured out how to carry it, and then comes back. It was supposed to be by the Levites and the priests, we know that. They were not to touch the ark. They were to use the poles, stick to the rings on the four corners of the ark, and pick it up that way, never to touch it, and only carried by those special men. David, because of his lack of discernment, and Uzzah, because of his lack of understanding or his complete disobedience, cost him his life. David had very simple directions to follow. I don't know why he chose to do this way. Maybe they did it that way because that's how it was transported to them from the Philistines. They said, "It'll work for the Philistines, it'll work for us. It works for the world, ought to work for the church." It's not the way it works, and it didn't work for them. I don't know, but Moses wrote down very simple instructions on how to transport the ark, and David and Uzzah failed to follow him, and they paid a huge price for it. Holiness is not easy. The narrow path is not called that for no reason. Holy sanctified living is not common. It's not easy. Living for the Lord is not always the easiest path to take. Making the right decision is not always the easiest thing to do. Putting this ark on the cart and towing it down the road would be much simpler and much easier for these Levites. They say, oh, David, that ark is so heavy, it hurts my back. Let's just put it on the cart. That's what we have these oxen for anyway. That was not God's instructions. I don't know why David did it. That's what he did. The easiest path is not always the right path. You say, well, where are you going with this, preacher? Hang on a minute. I promise I'm going somewhere. Stick with me. Some folks raise their children up and they bring them to church and they put them in the nursery and then they put them in Sunday school and they put them in youth group and they raise them in the house of God and they make them to participate in all the things and they teach them to give and they give to missions. They go on mission trips and they do all these great, mighty things and they grow up and they leave and they turn around and they touch the ark of God. They disobey the rules. Parents wonder, maybe they're displeased. Like David here, David was displeased. It says in verse number 8, and David was displeased because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Peruzzah until this day. It's not enough to simply have the ark of God in your house. It needs to be a realness of the presence of God in your home. Abinadab had his ark in his home for 40 to 60 years. No doubt these sons were raised in their home with the ark of God. No, they had to know it was there. The very ark of God in their home. Uzzah grew up and pays extreme price for disobedience. We don't see any of the blessings of God on the house of Abinadab. I don't know. He may have been wealthy. He may have been poor. I have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell us. But nobody's talking about the blessings that have been on Abinadab's house. However, the other home is able to house the ark of God for those short 3 months, 90 days. And their entire household, as we will see, is later on, his sons and his grandsons, up to 62 men in the home, were blessed. His legacy was changed by those 3 months in the presence of God. I'm going to look today and see what's so different about the house of Obed-Edom. Why was he so blessed for just 3 short months, yet Abinadab's sons grew up 40 to 60 years in the presence of God and turned around and broke the law and were killed because of it? The Lord's going to preach just a little while on a household changed by the realness of God's presence. Look at verse number 11 again. The ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. It says in 1 Chronicles 13, and all that he had, blessed all that he had. This ark was in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. The Bible says, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. You know what that and all his household means? It means everything was blessed. It means he was blessed. It means his wife was blessed. His sons were blessed. Their wives were blessed. Their children, their grandchildren were blessed. You look at that word household, it means the family. It means the children. It means all that were contained in the house. It means the hangings, the stuff on the walls. It means what was within. It means what was without. All that he had, I believe Obed-Edom's cattle was blessed. I believe his crops were blessed. I believe his finances were blessed. All his household, everything he had, God said, I'll bless that, and I'll bless that, and I'll bless that, and I'll use that, and I'll use this over here. What's the difference? Lord said, I'll make them healthy. I'll give them a home. I'll bless Obed-Edom's job, those around him. God said, I'll bless him. Verse number 12, and he was told to King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. Abinadab had the ark of God in his house 40 to 60 years. From what we can tell, no one said one word about him being blessed. It's not recorded anyway. As far as we know, there's nothing changed about the family of Obed-Edom. Those looking at him and say, oh, Obed-Edom, you still have that ark of God in your house? Why didn't you tell me? There's nothing special about Obed-Edom or his family, about Abinadab or his family. But 3 months after Obed-Edom gets the ark, word gets all the way back to the king in Jerusalem that God is blessing the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertains to him. And David said, he's blessing that. David said, get that thing to my house. I want some of that. 3 months, and the king gets word all the way back in Jerusalem. People look at him and said, Obed-Edom, what's changed? What's different about you? What's going on with your crops? Why are they sprouting up so quick? What's going on with your cattle? Jewish history, you can read about, they believe their family. Jewish history says their family grew exponentially during this time. He has 8 sons. He talks about all her daughter-in-laws being expecting all at the same time, giving birth in these 3 months. People looked over and said, Obed, what's your secret? Why is your grass so green? Why is your family doing so well? And I imagine Obed-Edom would say something like, well, let me tell you about the presence of the Lord in my home. God's been so good to me. He's been real. He's in my home. My life has changed so much since I've gotten into his presence. The ark was in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. The Bible says, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. So they told the king. Notice with me, it says, Obed-Edom the Gittite. And I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole all morning. I spent hours yesterday studying, trying to figure out who Obed-Edom was and where he came from, his history. The Bible just simply does not give us enough information to make an informed, definite decision on who he is. First off, Obed-Edom, it means a servant of Edom. What's Edom? Another name for Esau. He's also called Edom, the enemy of Israel. So just his name says, he's the servant of the enemy of Israel. That doesn't make any sense. It also says the Gittite. Now, normally a Gittite, many times in Scripture, would be a person from the land of Gath. You remember Gath, that's where Goliath came from. Some say that Obed-Edom here was from Gath. Some believe he saw David kill Goliath and it changed his life, went back to Israel and started living for the Lord. Is that possible? It's possible. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Some say there's another land inside of Israel. We read about that in Joshua 21, the land called Gath-Rimmon. And folks from there are also called Gittites. And maybe that's where he's from. That would make him could possibly be a Levite. Is that possible? It's possible. I don't know where he is from exactly. The Bible doesn't tell us. We can speculate all day long. The fact is, the Bible doesn't make it plain, so any speculating is just going to be an opinion, and I'm not here to give you my opinions. Either way, the point is, in 3 months, maybe he was a heathen Philistine from Gath, and the Lord changed his life around, or maybe he's just living in that Gath-Rimmon, and the Lord decided to use this Levite for his will. I don't know. But either way, the point is, in 3 months, his legacy, his life, his home is changed for forever. Obed-Edom was blessed, and all his household. I don't know about you, but I want the blessings of God in my home. I want my family to be healthy. I want God to bless my family. I want God to bless my finances. You say, that's not very spiritual, preacher. If you say the opposite, you're crazy. Of course we want God to bless our finances. More than all that, I want God to bless my home spiritually. I want the presence of God to be in my home. I want it to be real in my home. And I'll show you this morning, I believe the Lord did just that for this man. What is it that made the difference in this home? Don't you want to see God's blessings in your home? Don't you want more than anything to see your children spiritually blessed? Don't you want that? Don't you want to see God use your kids? Be honest this morning. Don't you want to see that? Don't you want to see your children grow up and be used of God? Then we need to understand the difference between these two households. Understand what's the key. If you're saved today, you have the ark of God in your home, the presence of God in your home. You have the presence of Almighty God in your home. If you're saved today, He dwells within you. Holy Spirit dwells within you. The Bible says if you're both parents saved, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord can meet in your home. God can be real in your home. You have the ark. You have God's presence. If you're saved, you have God's presence. But apparently that does not guarantee the blessings as we have seen. It didn't work for Abinadab. So what else do we need? For the house of Obed-Edom, number one, the presence of God was real in his home. We've already got that. Digging that a little bit more. Turn to 1 Chronicles 13:13. This is the same story here in chapter 13. We'll get to more in chapter number 15 and so on. First Chronicles chapter number 13. Read a couple of verses there starting in verse number 13. 1 Chronicles 13:13. It says, so David brought not the ark home to himself. Let you find your place. So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Don't forget that Uzzah had just been struck dead by God Almighty for simply touching the ark of God. And David says, I don't want that thing in my house. Here, Obed-Edom, you take it, you put it in your house, and we'll see what happens to you. I don't believe it was any secret what happened to Uzzah. I believe that Obed-Edom knew exactly what had just taken place. I believe news that wouldn't happen in a town and the news not get around. Somebody go in here and touch your boat and they get struck dead instantly. Everybody on Prince of Wales is going to know what happened. It may not be the truth. They're going to hear something about what happened. I don't believe it's a secret what happened to Uzzah. I believe Obed-Edom knew exactly what had just taken place. And now this ark is in his home with his 8 sons and their wives and his grandchildren. I don't know how many grandchildren he had at this time, or I don't know if his sons were married yet. It doesn't say. You better believe they had a conversation about the presence of God. I believe they broke dark in. And Obed-Edom set his family down. He said, okay, we need to have a meeting here. I bet he went back over to Exodus and began to explain to his family the rules of the ark. I believe he opened the scriptures to him, began to teach him what the Bible has to say. I believe he opened the book to him, explained what it says about this ark. I believe they had a family altar around the realness and the seriousness of God's presence in the home. How they had to take it seriously, or they could die if they touch it. There's no way he didn't explain that to them. You say, how do you know that? Uzzah died for touching it. Nobody knew Obed-Edom's family died. Pretty simple. Obed-Edom's children knew the realness of the presence of God in their home. They knew the seriousness of worshiping an almighty God and how holy and perfect he is. I believe there would begin to be an argument. Obed-Edom would say, don't forget, Ark of God's in there in the house. Watch your mouth. Miss Obed would go to the market and come home and say, you wouldn't believe what so-and-so. And he said, Ark of God is in our house. The presence of God is real in our home. The kids would begin to fight. And he said, oh, no, the Ark of God is here. Someone would say something filthy. He said, oh, no, don't you say that in my house. The Ark of God is present in our home. Something wicked would come on the TV. Obed didn't rip it out and throw it out the door. The Ark of God is present in our home. He didn't have a TV. It's okay. I'm not crazy. Some wicked thing would come across his mind. He'd say, not in my house. And we have the presence of God in our home. God is real in our home. Their talk was changed, I believe. Their walk was changed. They probably threw away those old worldly CDs they had stored back in the corner. They probably changed their clothing. They probably cleaned themselves up. After all, they were in God's presence in their home. Maybe for the first time, I don't know. But the presence of God was just as real in their home as it was in the temple. Daddy, mama, can I ask you something? Is the presence of God just as real in your home as it is in the house of God? Can you gather around your family and worship God together in your home? When's the last time, Daddy, that you pulled out your Bible and turned your TV off and your wife and your children gathered around and listened to you read the Word of God? He had to teach them from the Scripture the truth of the realness of God. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you pulled your Bible and taught your family about the realness and the presence of God Almighty in your home? When's the last time your children heard you pray? I believe the house of Obed-Edom was blessed because the presence of God was real inside their home. It wasn't just a church thing. It wasn't just a temple thing. It was real presence of God in his very house. It was real to them. It was real to them. I believe it became real to their children. For the house of Obed-Edom, the presence of God was real in his home. Everyone in the home knew what Daddy stood for. Everyone knew what the ark represented. Everyone knew if they messed up, they'd be in big trouble. Everybody knew. Everybody respected it, and they honored it, and they reverenced the presence of Almighty God. It was real in their home. You say, it's my house, and I'll do what I want. And you're exactly right. And honestly, I probably never would know much difference. It's your house. I'm not there. I don't want to be there. It's your house. I'll come visit, and I'm going back to my house. You know who will notice? Children. Apparently, Abinadab didn't take the ark very seriously from the sound of things. You know who paid the price for that? Uzzah, his son. Daddy, you want to live wickedly. Mom, you want to live wickedly and just do whatever you want to do in your home. After all, the only one that will ever know the difference are your children. Therein lies the problem. Uzzah paid the price because the presence of God was not real in his father's home. To make a good Father's Day message, but I couldn't wait that long. Is the presence of God made real in your home? Parents, do you live it at home? Is it just something for church? Or is it real? The presence of God was real in their home. The presence of God was real in their service. Turn over to chapter number 15. A couple chapters over. 1 Chronicles 15. It says in verse number 1. And David made him houses in the city of David. It's the day when he comes back to bring the ark out of the Obed-Edom's house and back to his house, the palace and temple. And he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it for a tent. And David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. Apparently David's going back and read the instructions this time. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him for forever. Forever. So David's preparing to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. This time he decided to do things the right way, and he's giving instructions here in chapter 15 on how they're going to do it. It says in verse number 18. And with them, y'all pray for me, I'll read these names. With them their brethren, the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, I like that one, that was easy. And Jaziel, and Shemiramoth, and Jael, and Uni, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Messiah, and Mattathiah, and that guy, and Micanai, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, the porters. Verse number 24. and Shabaniah and Jehoshaphat and Nethaneel and Amasiah and Zechariah and Benaiah and Eleazar, the priest that bloweth the trumpets before the ark of God, and Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the ark. No, I'm not going to repeat that. Hard enough the first time. You know what that word porters means in verse 18? It means a doorkeeper. Verse 24 again, Obed-Edom listed as a doorkeeper. Never before has this been done in his lifetime anyway. The ark has been gone. Now it's back. And now they have to gather people together to carry the ark of God, gather people together to hold the door for the ark of God. Obed-Edom is now a doorkeeper for the ark of God. Never done that before because the ark of God hadn't been there. Obed-Edom said, am I have to leave my house? I don't want to get too far away from the ark of God. Stay as close as I can. He said, I'll hold the door. He said, you need somebody to hold the door. I'll hold the door. They spoke up and said, hey, will somebody be the doorkeeper? Obed-Edom said, let me do that. I'll do anything. I want to be as close to the presence of God as I can. I want to be as close to God as I possibly can. I want to serve as much as I can. I believe if they needed a toilet cleaner for the ark of God, Obed-Edom would have raised his hand for that too. He just wanted to be as close to the presence of God as he could get. He wanted to do whatever he could. He said, I'll be content with just holding the door. Psalms 84:10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. Not everyone could be the Levite to carry the corner of the ark. Only four of them could do that. But you don't hear Obed-Edom complain. He said, I'll just hold the door. And just let me hold the door. I'll be beside it as it comes past me. I'll just stand right beside it. The ark left the house of Abinadab. His two sons were the ones pulling. The oxen were pulling. They were standing on either one in the back, one in the front, walking beside the ark, beside the cart. They're right up there in the spotlight. Yet when he leaves Obed-Edom's house, he's standing there at the back holding the door as it walks past him. What's the difference? Why is that? Because it's not about him. It's about the presence of God. It's not about Obed-Edom. I can let you in on a little secret this morning. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the presence of an almighty God. I don't stand up here and preach his message for popularity. Good thing, because it wouldn't work. I preach for the glory of God. I don't do it for you. I don't do it for myself. It's for him. You don't come lead singing for your own attention. And if you do, you can rest assured God's not going to bless it. You don't teach Sunday school to impress us with your knowledge. If you do, God's not going to bless it. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about any of us. It's all about him and the God's presence. Obed-Edom said, I want God to be real in my service. I'll just do whatever I can, whatever place I can fit in. He said, I'll do that. I just want to be as close to the presence of God as I can be. I'll do whatever I can. Is there anyone like that here this morning? You want to set aside your pride. You want to set aside yourself and just serve the Lord. Wherever you can, whatever you can, just be willing to serve. You know those coffee mugs back there in the kitchen you drink out this morning, every Sunday morning, those coffee pots, how do you think those get clean? Miss Pat washes them every Sunday. She don't come in here with the name badge on her shirt and the mug washer. She don't pat herself on the back, no pun intended. She just, pats herself. You'll get that in a minute. She just does it. Why? Because it needs to be done. Why did Obed-Edom hold the door? Because somebody needed to hold the door. He said, I'll do that. If the presence of God is real in your service, if it is, it don't matter what you're doing or how you're doing it, who's seeing you do it, it's about God. It doesn't matter where you snap your lead and singing or you're picking up the trash, the blue out of the trash can in the driveway. You're doing it for the glory of God and you want to be as close as you can to the presence of God. It makes a difference. It makes a big difference. How are you serving? Is the presence of God real in your service? It made the difference for Uzzah. The presence of God was real in their service. He was real in their worship. Just here a minute ago, chapter 15, verse number 16. And David spake to the chief of Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with the instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. And look down at verse number 18. Whose name you see at the end of that verse? Obed-Edom. Need somebody to sing. Obed-Edom said, let me do that. I'll do that too. I'll hold the door and I'll sing. Turn one chapter over, chapter 16, verse number 4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, David did, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. He said, I want people just to write it down. I want people to thank. I want people to praise the God of Israel. Verse number 5, Asaph the chief, next to him Zechariah, Jael, Shemiramoth, and Jethiel, Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom. and Jael with psalteries and harps, and Asaph made a sound with cymbals. David said in verse 4, you make some people just record, you make some people just thank, you make some people just praise the Lord. And Obed-Edom said, that's just the job for me. I can do that one right there. Let me do that. He said, I'll sing and I'll hold the door, and I'll just praise the Lord for all he's done. If you need somebody to thank and praise the Lord, Obed-Edom said, I'm your man for that job. I can do that. He can't quit volunteering. Every time he asks for somebody, he sticks his hand up. Whatever he can possibly do to get himself as close to the ark of God as he can, he says, let me do that. He said, I just want to praise him. I want to thank him for what he's done. I thank him for blessing my home and my family. I want to praise the Lord. The presence of God was real in his worship. Parents, when's the last time your children saw you worship the Lord? When's the last time they saw you thank him for what he's done? I don't know if anybody here has not been blessed. Yes, you've had troubles and trials. Every one of you is blessed this morning. When's the last time they saw you sing? Your children saw you sing and praise the Lord in church. When's the last time they saw you thank God for all he's done for you? Obed-Edom's entire household was blessed, and he said, I just want to praise him for it. I can't do anything else. I'll just hold the door, and I'll just thank him for what he's done. He said, I want to be part of the ministers that sing and praise the Lord. The presence of God was real in the worship of Obed-Edom. It wasn't put on. It wasn't fake. It wasn't just a show. He said, I just want to thank God for all he's done for me. The presence of God was real in his worship. The presence of God was real in his devotion. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 26. Try to read these names again. 1 Chronicles 26, verse number 4. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, Sakkar the fourth, Nethaneel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Pulthay the eighth, for God blessed him. And also Shemaiah's son were sons born, grandsons. They ruled throughout the house of their father, for they were mighty men of valor. The sons of Shemaiah, Othni, Raphael, and Obed, I wonder where he got that name, Elzabad, were brethren, were strong men, Elihu, Semachiah. All these are the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men for strength for the service, were 62 of Obed-Edom. 62 men from Obed-Edom, able men with strength for the service, came out of the house of Obed-Edom. 3 months in the presence of God was in his home. Now that the entire household, as far as we know, it's the entire household, they're serving God. Mighty men for service. It says mighty men of valor were his grandsons. 62 men in the service of God. Obed-Edom was devoted. It wasn't only real for those 3 months. There's no way he changed for 3 months, went back to his old ways, and this happened to his children. There's no way. There's something that changed inside the heart of Obed-Edom. Something that changed in his children. Something changed in his grandchildren. He got to grow an old man and watch his sons and his grandsons in the service of the Lord. Why? Because it was real in his home. These men would not serve the Lord like they did. They didn't have a grasp of the realness of the presence of God. Imagine those children grew up and got to tell their children about when Grandpa got to store the Ark of God in their home and the change it made. Got to grow up and tell their grandchildren what great things God had done for them and God had blessed him. But he even got to tell them about when he got to hold the door for the Ark of God while it left his house. It was real to him. I hope and pray when I'm an old man, I'm old and senile and decrepit, it's probably next week, I can pray and look back, and I can see Samuel serving the Lord. My daughter's grown up married, godly man, serving the Lord. I don't think there's anything better in this world for my family to remain devoted to the presence of the Lord. Yes, I want the blessings. I'm selfish. I want blessings too. But church, there's nothing I want more and for my children to be changed by the presence of God in my home. I want to make an impact on them. I want to be so affected by it, they will never be able to change, won't be able to forget it, won't be able to get away from it. I want God to get a hold of them while they're young and change their life. I pray my daughters grow up and marry godly men and serve God. I want my son to grow into a godly home, godly man, raise his own family. How can I expect that to happen unless I make the presence of God real for them now? No, wait, there's more. Verse number 15, same chapter. to Obed-Edom southward, and to his sons, the house of Asupim. They're dividing up the duties between the families. Obed-Edom was charged with guarding the south gate. It says, and to his sons, the house of Asupim. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not, but Siri will let me know. You know what that is? You know what that word, that house of Supim is? That's where that's the treasury for the temple. That's where the gold and silver was stored. It's a collection of offerings. Obed-Edom and his sons were given the duty of taking care of the money for the temple of God, David's temple, the richest temple they gave to his son Solomon. He was able to build everything from the spoils of war from his father David. Obed-Edom and his sons got to take care of that, got to watch over that, got to guard that. These were trusted men. Obed-Edom and his 62 sons and grandsons were trusted men, devoted to the work of God. The presence of God was real to them. I wonder where they got that idea from. Obed-Edom. Meanwhile, Abinadab gets to bury his son. No doubt he hears the blessings of the house of Obed-Edom. Everybody knows, even the king hears back at the kingdom about how the Lord's blessing Obed-Edom. Abinadab's over there burying his son. The word of God, the word got all the way back to the king. Abinadab knew in his heart. No doubt he looked back on those 40, 60 years. No doubt he probably said, where did I mess up? What did I do wrong? Oh, he's burying his son, wondering where he messed up. People probably said dumb things like they would nowadays. They probably said, why didn't God bless you, Abinadab, like he did Obed-Edom? What's different in your house? You had the ark for those years. Why didn't God bless you like that? For Obed-Edom, his household was changed by the realness of the presence of God. Question you this morning, church, is it real to you? Is this your life? Is this church just something to make you feel good, something you're supposed to do? Do you worship God in your home, or is it only here? Do your children hear the Bible at home? Do they learn at home, or is it only here? And say as carefully and respectfully as I can. If I'm the only person your children hear to read the Word of God, shame on you. You need to step it up. Say with all reverence as I can. It ought to be real in your home. It ought to be real in your service. It ought to be real in your worship. It ought to be real in your devotion. What about you? Are you Abinadab or Obed-Edom? The choice is yours. If you're saved, you have the ark. They both have the ark. The rest is up to you. Is it real this morning?